Alright, I am Nathan Doyle. I'm 15 years old, and today is,
Sunday, December 10th.
Alright, I'm sticking with my mom. I'm sticking with Jean Doyle, who's my mom. We're recording this interview in Laguna Niguel, California. So, I just want to ask, so when were you born?
June 30th, 1962.
And where?
Shanghai, China.
And who was the leader of China at this time?
This time?
At that time.
Oh, that time, Chairman Mao.
Yeah, so what is your opinion of Chairman Mao?
Oh, he's a dictator. He's a moron. He's bad.
And what did your family members think of Chairman Mao?
My mom, she's 86. She was brainwashed by Chairman Mao, so she still thinks he's a great founding father.
Do you think that Chairman Mao should be frozen in Beijing like he is?
No. He should be burned, thrown away, discarded.
So what was your living conditions like when you were growing up?
I grew up very poor. We were in a 300 square feet apartment with me, my mom, my brother, my two cousins, and my grandma. We have no running hot water. We don't have running toilet. We don't have a heat. We don't have air condition.
What were some typical chores you had to do growing up?
I have to go wait in line, take government rations, and wait in line 3 in the morning, try to get the meat and the egg, and I have to do it every single day. And I have to cook for the family. I started when I was 13, and I do all of the laundry. There's no laundry machine, so everything has to be washed by hand in the cold water, even when it's freezing outside. That's what we do.
So what did you do in your free time?
I usually get from school home. I gotta do my homework, I have to cook, I have to do chores, so I don't have a lot of free time. When we do, we play jump ropes, we making rubber band, make a line, and then we dancing around the rubber band, and we go hide and seek with the neighbor kid. That's about as much as we did when I grew up.
So what toys did you have when you were growing up?
I have only one toy my entire childhood. I had a doll, my brother had a fire truck.
And what were your parents' occupations?
My dad was in the army, my mom retired from army and worked for China Telecom.
At what age did you go to the US?
I came here when I was 25 years old.
And where did you go?
When I first came here, I landed up in Galveston, Texas, outside Houston, and I went to community college there for 2 years. Then I transferred to University of Notre Dame and graduated there in 1991.
How did you pay for your time at Notre Dame?
At Notre Dame, I got a scholarship. I got a private scholarship.
So it's a full scholarship?
It's a full scholarship, yes. I don't have to pay for anything. But when I was in community college, I had to work 3 jobs to make ends meet. Then I guess I hit a jackpot. I got a private scholarship.
And what led you to become the occupation you are currently having?
Ever since I was young, I don't know why. I like the math. Math is my strength. And I always thought I wanted to go into finance and accounting. When I was in community college, my accounting teacher suggested I should apply for Notre Dame because that's one of the top accounting school, which I ended up going. And so it was very clear that I want to be a CPA. So that's what I did. After I graduated, I passed all the tests and got my credential.
Did you have any friends at community college?
Not really, because I didn't really speak English when I first come here, and also I have to work 3 jobs, and I barely every day I probably get 4 hours sleep, so I don't really have friend at a school. I had a one guy friend wasn't very long, then that was it.
So how did not being able to speak English very well impact your learning and impact like how well you did work in your jobs?
It was really hard because not only I don't speak English and there's a culture shock too, but I was determined to do well in US, so I only associate myself with English speaking people. Everywhere I go, I had a small pocket dictionary and I was pay attention, I ask a lot of questions, and after 3 months I was pretty much about 80% I can speak now.
How did you meet Ballinger Mills?
He was the donor for private scholarship to my community college. Every year they select one student and I applied, I wrote an essay, and they picked me. After they picked me, I got that scholarship, I got Women of the Year scholarship, I got one other scholarship. So I wrote a thank you note to Ballinger Mills as well as the other two donors, and Ballinger Mills decided to contact me because I guess after 21 years of giving money, I'm the only one ever wrote a thank you note other than the first kid. That kid, he also helped, and he was in 1988, was the dean of UCLA mathematics department. And after him, for 21 years, nobody bothered to say thank you until I come around.
So, how was your time like at Notre Dame?
Notre Dame was really fun, very challenging. Lots of essays, almost all classes require essays, so it's a little bit tough for me because English is not my first language, and I'm not very strong at writing. So I spent the most time study and didn't make too many friends, but the few friends I made, they told me that I needed to get out and do some, fun things, and they took me to football game and taught me how to watch American football. Till today, I really enjoy watching at least my school play football. I don't get to live on campus because I'm a transfer student, so it's a disadvantage for me to making a lot of friends, but I had very few friends there. But my goal at the time was really trying to get through school and graduate on time. I actually graduated 6 months earlier.
Did you watch any other sports at Notre Dame besides football?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. I went to senior bar twice, too.
What did your parents think of you going to the U.S.?
I didn't tell them right away when I decided to do this until pretty much in the end. And my time, there's not very many opportunities in China, so going to America is everybody's dream. They are pretty supportive of me going, but my parents and I, we both are kind of blindsided about what's really happening in the U.S. We were thinking in China, when your family do well, one member of family do well, they will help the rest of family. So my mom's cousin is the one sponsored me. We had this notion that I'm just going to come here, live with her. She's going to take care of me. I don't have to work, just go to school. So it was a shock when I got here that wasn't the case. But my parents are pretty supportive of me coming here.
So when did your brother decide to come out?
My brother came out 2 years after me.
And where did he go?
He first came out to Notre Dame, met with me, and went to a language school there. But he's older than me, and by then he already married, was kid. It was a little bit difficult for him to go to school, so he decided to not pursue a college degree and instead start working. So he moved to California, moved in with a friend of mine for a while.
And when did your parents decide to come out to the U.S.?
My parents moved here in 1991. For deciding, we all want to come. We always wanted to come here. It's just a matter of when I was able to get them over here. but they moved to here in 1991.
So what do you think is the biggest difference between China when you were growing up and China now?
When we grow up, it's every government control everything. There's not very many freedom, but everybody is equal, everybody is the same. There's no rich, there's no poor. There's a very low crime rate. Now, China now, especially, I just got back, there are a lot of people extremely rich and there are a lot of people extremely poor. And there's a lot of pressure and they try to move really fast and copy Western culture. So the kids are very different than I grew up. The moral standards are very different.
So how did you meet Dad?
I met Dad when I was senior in my school. We have a class called International Business Seminar. My school is one of the several schools in the group that participate. And his school also participate in the program. We met in London when we all gather together at a hotel. And I was actually graduate already. I only went with the group because I felt comfortable travel around Europe with a group. So I don't really need to take class. I just went for fun. So I signed up to be a teacher's assistant. And I was helping the teacher with the whole group, so I was able to know everybody's background. And when I met your dad at group, I guess we fall in love with right away, and I checked out his background, figured out about him, and we hang out in Europe for 3 weeks, and the rest is history.
Wait, what? No, it's probably more than that, was he a senior at the time?
Yes, that was his very last class.
Oh, okay. Why did you decide to go to live in Minnesota?
When I met your dad, he was in San Diego. I always thought I want to live in San Diego. I moved to San Diego, and then we got married. Actually, before we got married, Bellinger Mills passed away. It was very hard for me to still live in the condo that he bought for me. I was very upset. And then at the time, it was a recession. Dad doesn't have a really good full-time job. So his parents offered, at the time they lived in Minnesota, they offered us to move in with them. And his job is easier there. Housing was cheaper there. So we decided to move there and to get away from the environment at the time. And it was helping me to get over the sadness of not having Bellinger Mills around. And we lived there for 5.5 years, but our hearts were in California, so we moved back here.
And did moving back to California have any, was there any decision because of the climate of Minnesota?
Oh, definitely. Minnesota is very, very cold. I think when I skid on the black ice and my car went crazy and finally buried a snowbank, that moment I decided I had enough. I need to go back to California. Also, when we lived in Minnesota, we're in suburb, predominantly just only white people there. In fact, the entire school, my niece is the only non-white kid in the whole school. They are very, not very friendly to me, and I got discriminated against all over the store all the time. And when Bellinger Doyle was born, he looked a lot more Asian than a Caucasian. That moment, and we decided we need to get out of there, so we left.
When did you start to become your own? When did you start working for yourself as an accountant?
I started working for myself full time in 2001 when I was pregnant with Nathan Doyle. I quit my other job. I thought I needed to be more independent so I can spend more time with my kids.
So how did you attract your clients because all of a sudden you just became independent?
When I started independent, I was very small. I I had a job, full-time job. I had one or two clients on the side. When I become independent, I just went to those clients and told them now I work for myself and I would appreciate a referral. And I'm pretty well known for working really hard and I'm available 24/7. And these two doctor clients really, really liked me. So they just start telling their, you know, their medical school friends that about me, and I just basically start getting clients from the referral. All my clients are 100% referral.
So, what is your opinion on like traditional Chinese beliefs like Confucianism?
I don't really know about that. Because when I grew up, that Confucianism is not allowed to talk at a school. Mao was suppressing that topic.
And how did the way Mao treat Chinese impact your own daily life?
We, at the time, you are not allowed to say anything. You're very afraid, and people living in a bubble, it's more like you kind of step on other people to get ahead. So any opportunity people can turn you in, they will. So we try to keep to ourselves and pay attention to school and not saying much. So we don't have a lot of opinion, I guess, when I grow up. You're not allowed to either.
So you talked about your mom's opinion on that, but what was your father's opinion on that?
I think my dad has a mixed feeling about Mao because he and my mom joined the army at the same time in 1949 when Mao took over and started new communist China. So they were the army for Mao. And they are loyal to Mao. And as time goes on, the truth came out. Remember, back then, we don't know the truth. Mao has all those propaganda, so we just believe whatever we see. We don't even have a TV, so whatever is in the newspaper, you believe it. As they getting older, especially my dad likes to read a lot, and living in America help him to read more things than you're not allowed to read in China, even till today. So he realized there are a lot of bad things done by Mao. So I think part of him still loyal to Mao, part of him feel like being deceived by Mao.
So what did you learn in regards to history when you were growing up?
When we grew up, the only history we ever taught is how great Mao was, how he marched 10,000 kilometers, how he defeated Chiang Kai-shek, and it's very... We don't have a normal school back then. We do a lot of march and chanting for Mao and doing a lot of silly stuff until the 70s. I graduated from high school in 1980. So I don't really have a real study full-time probably until about 72, 73. So the last 6 years is better, but beginning was all about propaganda. You know, I remember we have to go to all the communist meetings and reading those stupid we call that about, you know, the things they wrote and stick on the wall. It was very different times.
So how was your school like the North Korean schools today?
I don't know about North Korean school.
I'm just saying with the brainwashing.
I think when I grew up, it's very similar to what's going on in North Korea today. I thought about it the other day. It's whatever happened in North Korea is pretty much what happened when I was young.
So what is your opinion on Japanese people?
Well, the history was the Japanese invaded China, and they killed thousands and thousands of people in China, and they raped kids as young as one, as old as 80. My family was directly affected. My grandpa could not go back home because they cut off all of the travel, and they burned the village, and my my uncle, my mom's oldest brother, was hiding between the wall when they were burning the village. He got a smoke inhalation, and he always coughed. All I remember about my uncle is he always coughed. He had the rest of his life, he had that condition. So I am very anti-Japanese because of what happened to our country and to my family. Although today's Japanese may not be the same as back then, but for me, I probably is very against them.
So what is your opinion on like 100% white Americans? Like you said earlier about like the, how the Minnesota people, you didn't really like them.
I think most white people are okay. It's just when you're in Minnesota, the people over there, I don't know about now, when we lived there, they are very close mind. They will have, we will go out, eat and stuff. They find out we're from California, you know, your dad is white, they still treat him very differently. And they have a lot of opinion about California. And when I asked them, have you ever been to California? And all of them said, no, never want to either. I'm like, how can you have such an opinion about place when you have never been to? You know, I don't think white people in general is close mind. I just think at a time when I was in Minnesota, and they are pretty close mind. You know, I mean, California, I know a lot of white people. I don't feel any different from them, and I think we are the same.
So, what is your stance on politics?
My stance on politics, I'm a registered Republican, but I'm more to the, I'm kind of person more to the topic than a person. I'm not happy with the current president, but I definitely didn't want to see Harry in office either, so I don't know.
So why are you Republican?
Because I'm more conservative in a lot of views of things.
So
I guess my value is more close to the Republicans' value than Democrats' value.
Did you ever enjoy reading?
Yes, when I was little, when I was a teenager, and I used to read the novels, and we have to hide under the comforter to read them, because back then the only thing you're allowed to read is the Chinese propaganda. So if you get caught, you it's a big trouble. I still remember my brother and I were hiding under the comforter reading the books, and every little sound scared the crap out of us. We didn't want to get caught. We went over to China couple weeks ago. We visited my uncle, and he remembered the days that he was loaning us the books and tell us not to let the teacher know, not let the parents know, or we all gonna end up in jail. It was, I don't know. I enjoyed the reading back then. I enjoy a little bit reading now. Not maybe because I'm too busy. I don't read that much anymore.
What is your stance on the current events that are happening in the world today?
What events? There's a lot of things going on. So
yeah,
what?
Like anything.
Make us an example. What?
Like the Las Vegas shooting.
Well, I think it's very sad that it happened. I am very angry at the guy who did it, especially whatever his issue is. He shouldn't pick on innocent people to vent it out. You know, he might be mentally ill. I don't know if the gun control will solve the issue, because I was in China, and it's a friend of mine, her ex-husband, you know, just killed somebody with a helmet. You just never know. When somebody want to do something, they're going to find a way to do it.
So, what is your stance on gambling?
Gambling? Well, you know, I gamble occasionally. I think gambling, like most things, if a person doesn't have an addictive personality, shouldn't gamble, because it's addicting. you have to have a will. You have to be able to say, I'm done. I'm gonna walk away, which most people cannot do. So.
What is one of your happiest memories?
My happiest memory, I would say, my happiest time is when all my kids were born. I was very, very happy.
How would you like to be remembered in the future?
I'd like to be remembered as somebody that come from nothing and made what I have today. I worked very hard. I have a good value. My slogan always is, try your best. You have no regret.
Is there any wisdom you would like to pass on for people in the future?
I think life is short. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. So you need to seize the moment and set a goal and do your best to achieve it.
I think that's enough.